For my 40-04, they go.
I want easy money. We get easy money.
Man, South 40.
Gang!
Yeah. Hey, I got the answers. I got the answers. I got the answers.
Oh, you do?
I got the answers. I got the answers. I got the answers.
Okay, cool.
They had my answers. We bout that action. We had facts.
I'm with the mayor, South 40, and he say facts.
Let's go.
I got the answers. I got the answers. I got the answers.
I got the answers.
I got the answers.
Let's go.
They have my answers. We bout that action. We having facts.
I'm with the mayor, South 40, and he say facts.
Pushing P. Pushing P. We back, guys. We are back. You know what I'm saying? Welcome, I Have the Answers fans. We are now on our second phase of the podcast. You know, I took a little break, but we back. And conveniently, we're back right before the Super Bowl. It's a Monday where I'm recording. I don't know when you're going to hear this, but it's Monday. And all week, you know, we're preparing for the Pro Bowl. And obviously, the Eagles and the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, right? So you got Jalen Hurts. He's a quarterback. Went to Alabama. He's from Texas. That both quarterbacks might actually be from Texas. I don't know where Jalen Hurts is from, but I know Pat Mahomes is from Texas. All right. So I kid you not, Sunday, I'm sitting up looking at the channel for the Pro Bowl, and you start to see this narrative grow of, oh, this is the first time two black quarterbacks have gone against each other. I even heard on Sunday somebody call this the Black History Bowl because it is black history of two black quarterbacks going at it. And nothing irked me more than Pat Mahomes getting the label of a black quarterback. And guys, I know this is a little controversial, but I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this and looking at it and feeling it. And I just had to come to y'all and make a podcast where I had to say, I do not consider him a black quarterback. I'm sorry. And it's not just because of skin color. And if we're getting into a lifestyle, which on my podcast, I guess we can go off the rails. You know, you look at Jalen Hurts. I started Jalen Hurts and the reasons why I say he's a black quarterback past the skin. Obviously, if you look at skin, Jalen Hurts is black. He's black, full-blown black. When you look at Pat Mahomes, he's mixed. I honestly think me and him might be the same skin color almost. So I'm not taking away from the skin color when I bring up this conversation. This is not optical. This is just their lifestyle. Okay, so let's go to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, goes to Alabama. He was one of Nick Saban's. Nick Saban used to hate mobile quarterbacks. And Cam Newton whooped on him so bad that he started to flirt with the idea of getting a more mobile quarterback. And then you saw that's why most of Alabama quarterbacks were sorry, never did good in the NFL because they were just handing the ball off. Jalen Hurts was Nick Saban's first experiment kind of per se. I think Blake Sims was before, but he wasn't as mobile as Jalen Hurts. So this is his first mobile quarterback, and he won a national championship with him. Nick Saban won a national championship with him. Nick also the following year realized that he wasn't the best play caller for this style of quarterback. He also didn't highlight Jalen Hurts' strengths, and Jalen Hurts really couldn't advance the ball downfield. That's one of his weaknesses. It will be his weakness on Sunday. I'll get to his weakness, but he can't really advance the ball downfield. But he's a precision passer. He's very accurate, very smart with the ball. Doesn't really make a lot of mistakes. Can run when he needs to, very strong. But you got a guy who at Alabama, even though he won a national championship the following year, still wasn't looked at as a good quarterback. He had to transfer. He got his spot taken actually by Tua Tagovailoa. So boom, then he goes to Oklahoma. He's in the college playoffs, loses in the first round to a superior team. But also he transferred, takes his team to the college playoffs, top three in Heisman winning. And then you get to the draft. And then now the top analysts are looking at Jalen Hurts and they're literally saying this guy cannot be elite. He won't be an NFL passer. He won't be a good passer. He'll probably be a backup at best. needs to work on this, needs to work on that. They see the draft day. They see the attributes. They see the physical. They see the film. They see one trend of Jalen Hurts' career that I've said this years and years ago. Every year you watch him, he gets better and better every year. So when when I first started watching him, I was like, oh, he's a solid quarterback. The next year you saw, oh, he put in work. And then the next year, oh, he's getting better. Oh, he's working on. Every year he gets better and better, right? So his rookie year, he plays a little bit. He plays the second half of the season. And literally at the end of the season, last year, you had analysts saying he's not going to take this team to the promised land. You need to draft a quarterback. You need to get rid of him. You need to do this. You need to do that. He's not this. After showing and proving he's a good quarterback, he still gets that treatment of, no, he's not good enough. And it's one reason. He's one of the most articulate people in interviews. He's one of the best leaders in the NFL. There's 32 quarterbacks. He's top five in leadership. He's top five in media presence and how he handles the media and his responses. He's top five in how he treats his players or his teammates. Like, literally, the guy is perfect. But I can still, to this day, find analysts that find deficiencies in his game and will say he won't be elite. He's up for the MVP. He has his team in the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's lost a game. He got hurt and set a game, but I don't know if he lost a game. I think he might have lost one this season. And you got a guy who made it to the Super Bowl, and they're saying he should be a running back. He's still not elite. They're saying... Last 2 weeks ago when he played, the Eagles played the 49ers. The 49ers had a white quarterback. This quarterback was Mr. Forgettable. He was the last person to be picked in the draft, the very last, Brock Purdy. Nobody was picked after him because the draft ended. They turned off the lights. It was done. He was the last person. This guy played four games, threw a couple of touchdowns in those games, looked pretty good. Do you know those analysts had him over Jalen Hurts? They said Brock Purdy's better than Jalen Hurts. He can do this better than Jalen. Jalen has played two seasons, has taken his team to the playoffs. This guy filled in for a backup quarterback who the team was already steamrolling, and they got the nerve to say Brock Purdy is better. That is the treatment of a black quarterback. No matter what you do, they're going to say, oh, you're not good enough. You look at Cam Newton's career. Cam Newton took his team to the Super Bowl, 15-1. His best receiver was Devin Funchess. That guy is sorry. I can't stress how independently Cam took that team all the way to the playoffs. Did amazing that year. But let the analysts talk to you. He's a terrible leader. He's this, that, and the third. Man, teammates have never said anything negative about him. You look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson treatment. Lamar Jackson ran a pro-style offense in college. Pro-style at Louisville. That means what the pros ran, that's what he literally ran. Literally, I swear to you, he didn't run like a read option. He didn't run like a quarterback. He ran a pro-style offense where he spread the ball around. Read defenses, made checks. He did that. Now, Louisville's defense wasn't that good, so coming in the third, fourth quarter, and when they would usually be down and they have a good weapon there, they usually would just say, okay, Lamar scored, let's go. We don't have time to do this. Let's just run around. But if you turn on the film and you look at those formations, you look at those plays, the play calling, that was a pro-style offense. He gets to the league, he gets to the combine, and they're saying he should be a running back. They're literally saying Lamar Jackson, who's real skinny, by the way, they're saying he should be a running back. You know he won't last at running back. Lamar Jackson played Deshaun Watson in his senior year. That was one of the best college football games I've ever seen in my life. There's no way that Mitchell Trubisky should have went before Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. And there's no way that people are saying Lamar Jackson should be a running back. Fast forward, Mitchell Trubisky, who got picked, was the first quarterback off in that draft because he was white. He's on his second team. He's benched right now. He's not even playing. He's literally on the second team in a rookie contract, and he's not even playing on that team. They're about to get rid of him. That's who they took in front of Lamar Jackson, who is currently took his team to two playoffs with no receivers. He doesn't have any help. But people still say he's not elite. Okay, he won an MVP. He's still not good enough. His team hasn't even paid him. But does that make sense, guys? We're talking about an MVP, a guy who in his rookie contract took his team to the playoffs two times. And both times it showed that talent was the reason why y'all lost, not Lamar, the talent around Lamar. You didn't help him out. But y'all won't give him the elite tag. That's confusing. You know what I mean? What's confusing about it is when you name black player after black player who's doing good, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of confusing when you flip the side and you see, okay, these are how the black players are getting treated. That's how the black players are getting treated. Okay? How what I just listed, Lamar, even Deshaun, before the allegations, Jalen Hurts, even Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, all those black quarterbacks, they were clearly treated in a different way, in a different light. Cam Newton, they were treated and unfairly based off of how they dressed, how they talked, what things they did off the field, their play, just because they were black and athletic. Even Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields is one of the best quarterbacks to come out that draft. He's better than Trevor Lawrence. He beat Trevor Lawrence once and lost to Trevor Lawrence once, but his receiver ran the wrong route. He was on a game-winning drive, had a better game, but he doesn't get that credit. And a lot of these white coaches don't know how to coach black quarterbacks, especially when they're down. It's almost like having a super weapon, and it's like, hey, just score. You know what I'm saying? You see a lot of lazy play calling when you say, okay, quarterback right. I call it whatever the name of the quarterback is quarterback right, quarterback left. So when it's Jalen Hurts, it's Jalen Hurts left, Jalen Hurts right. Literally, that's the headset. When you see Lamar run, it's, hey, all right, what's the play call, coach? Lamar right, Lamar left. What's his name? Justin Fields asked for a play call. I saw Justin Fields. This was almost borderline inhumane work conditions. This is almost borderline racist. I saw Justin Fields in the dome run out of bounds, take a hit, grimace, make a face, grab his shoulder, stay on the ground for a minute, gets up, goes back to the huddle. And you know what that coach called right after that? That coach called another quarterback power, which is him running behind the line, taking another big hit. Man, that coach doesn't deserve that quarterback. That coach doesn't deserve a black quarterback. But that's how they do us. Cam Newton, same way, quarterback right, quarterback left. Never even cared to develop his arm. Never even focused on it. But will tell you how he dressed, how he talked, how he types, his Instagram videos, why he's not an elite quarterback. You see, the treatment is different. So when I flip sides, and I get to Pat Mahomes, and I hear they say, oh, this is the black bowl. This is the black quarterback. But I look at Pat Mahomes' career, and I'm like, whoa, y'all never, ever treated him like a black quarterback. Never. He got drafted. He was at Texas Tech. Even in the draft, I think he had a big arm, but he wasn't, I can't remember that draft, but he wasn't like the top player. You know what I mean? He's one of them, but he wasn't like the guy. You know what I mean? So he gets to, Andy Reid drafts him, sits for a year. A lot of people forget Pat sat. You know what I'm saying? All the other quarterbacks, other black quarterbacks, they took somebody's job right away. As soon as they got in the league, they took somebody's job. Starters made an impact. Pat sat, right? So he sits for a year. Comes out there next year. Now, if you know Andy Reid's offense, Andy Reid is one of the best offensive play callers ever. He makes it easy. I always tell people, there's a couple of offensive coordinators that I always joke and say, hey, you give me 4 weeks to learn, I can score touchdowns in this offense. Andy Reid is one of those play callers. So when I see Cam Newton get ripped for his fundamentals, I see Jalen Hurts get ripped for his fundamentals, timing on throws and things like that. I see they talk about Justin Fields' timing on throws and mechanics. But then I go see Pat. And there's nothing, I swear to you guys, I'm not just hating. There's nothing that Pat does that is fundamentally sound, proper, being taught, nothing. How he throws the ball, he throws it like a baseball. His dropbacks, even his dropbacks where he holds the ball low, he doesn't keep it high. His feet clack together. When he escapes the pocket, he drops his eyes and turns his back to the defense and turns around and does all those things. None of those things a quarterback coach is preaching. None of, or showing. Nothing. He does all the wrong things. And at the end of the play, if he knows if I, because there's Andy Reid's offense, somebody's going to be open one-on-one. It's hard to double team Andy Reid's offense because of the players he recruits and his scheme. He literally makes people open. So Pat knows I can run around, throw it deep, and the receiver's going to run up under the ball. It's an easier offense. And I'm not saying Pat is one of the worst guys in the league because he does bring a different view to the league. But what I'm saying is that boy came out in an interview and said out his mouth 3 years into the league, 3 or 4 years into the league. It was after the first Super Bowl. The year after the first Super Bowl, he literally said, I just started to learn defense. I just started to learn how to read defenses. He said it out of his mouth. I just started to learn. Like, not that he mastered it. He said, I just started to learn how to read defenses. To me, that sounds like an illiterate football player. How you in the league, you're a quarterback, and you don't know how to read defenses. Not only that, you have the privilege of saying it out loud. And get no backlash. All you got was, wow, he's an amazing player. But Lamar Jackson, who knows a pro-style offense, you want to make him a running back who knows how to read defenses, who makes checks. Jalen Hurts, who knows how to read defenses, he's not elite. You see the difference in treatment? And it's not just the difference in treatment. It's the difference in lifestyles that I don't get to say, well, that's why I say Pat is not a black quarterback, because there's clearly a side he favors. When you turn on his draft video, I don't know if you saw a black person in that video when he got drafted. He hugged his white girlfriend. I think he hugged his white mom, his white side of the family, his white agent. Lamar Jackson can't get paid because he's his agent. His mom is helping him out. That black family's coming to the table from Dade County. Jalen Hurts, his girlfriend, the first black agent to have a Super Bowl quarterback. First black female agent. Yeah, you saw who he came to the table with. Cam Newton, you saw his family. So he gets to certain luxuries. All of their girlfriends are black. Cam Newton's babies are black. Lamar, I don't know what he's doing in life right now. He's probably single, but I'm pretty sure he's dating a black girl. Deshaun Watson, black girl. Justin Fields, black girl. All of their families are black. Their girlfriends are black. Their kids are going to be black. Pat. Come on, Pat. Your hair, how you dress, your lifestyle, your girlfriend, your kids. Your kid is white. That baby is not passing for black. And this is not a knock on Pat. Me and Pat aren't beefing. If I saw Pat in the street, hey, Pat, man, I love watching you play, man. You know, it's cool to meet you as a player. I love Pat. I don't really like Pat. I don't know. But I don't hate him. So this isn't just a hate train. This is what the conversation that I see around these guys is what I'm hating. The difference in treatment, but now they're in the same group. One has been treated with grace his whole career. Oh my gosh. Do we remember last year at the start of the year when he was throwing the most picks? Do we remember the Bengals game where he lost the bank? He made two bad reads back to back and threw a pick. That's the reason the Bengals was in the Super Bowl. Do we not remember the Bucks game, him running around, turning his back to the defense, messing up? No, we don't treat that way. Cam Newton takes his team 15-1, goes to the Super Bowl, makes a business decision to not dive on one ball. He's a sore loser. He's this, that, and the third. The treatment was different. The treatment was different. And I don't like, now that it's convenient for them to push this during Black History Month, I don't know what Pat is saying, but I don't know if it's convenient for him to just say, oh, this is my community, my black community. You were never treated as a black quarterback. You were not treated like the other black quarterbacks. You weren't treated like Vic. You weren't treated like McNabb. You got your money. You got one of the highest paid contracts, man. Man, you got $500 million, 10 years. They locked you down as soon as you won. Lamar has an MVP right now. He can't get his money. But they gave it to you. So, no, I do not like the course, the conversation around them saying this is a black quarterback Super Bowl because one of these guys weren't treated like the other. Now, there's a different conversation when you talk about getting into skin color, and we're about to get a little bit more political. I hope I didn't offend anybody who's mixed race. I have mixed race people in my family. I have mixed race friends. I work with mixed race people. Like I said, this is not a knock on you. And it's probably super insensitive what I've said for the last 19 minutes. I'm not taking it back. I'm just acknowledging this is a touchy subject and I probably did offend some people. And I want to say sorry. Not changing what I said, but I want to say sorry if I did. Because I do understand outside of the football world, there's no way you can kind of escape the black experience. And I always said this. I always say if you're black, both your parents are black, and you send them to a private school, all white, you send them to, they go to a white school, they go to a white America. To black people, we always say, hey man, that guy's a sellout. He's a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be. He's whitewashed, you know what I'm saying? But his skin is still black and he can't escape that black experience. His son's going to be black. I don't care if he went to Harvard. I don't care if he works in San Francisco or whatever in some, you know, white area. I don't care. Because he's still, his skin color still black. Pat, who looks a little bit more mixed, whose hair is not as curly, has kind of whitewashed his experience and also his kids, his family bloodline. His kid looks white. Well, I mean, he's early on, so they might grow and get pigment. But as we look now optically, we start from the timeline of your dad is black. I'm talking about black. Your dad black, man. And then there's you, who's lighter, and the family gets lighter and lighter to where the Mahomes bloodline is whitewashed out. To where you see the experience, okay, you see where it's going. You know what I'm saying? You see where it's going. Genetically, his kid's going to be white. And if he marries a white woman, that kid's going to be fully white. And then so forth. Pat Mahomes is going to be, grandkids are going to be white babies. Which is no knock to him, no knock to what it is. I'm just saying the experience in life that these guys are having, it's unfair to put them in the same boat now. It's unfair to the real black quarterbacks that had a black experience. It's unfair. But like I said, if you're mixed, I'm not taking away anything from you. If you want to claim you're black and you got black girlfriend, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to be the one to say, hey, you're not black. You know what I mean? But if you mix and I see you're kind of passing for white, you're on the white side, you're dressing white, talking white schools, white girlfriend, white baby. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you want to be white? I'm a deem you white. I'm going to say you're white. And this does not, this is not a skin color thing. This is eyes closed, look at the facts. Obviously, if you look at Pat, you can tell he has black in some days. You look at me, I'm talking, I'm super light skinned, man. People question my life, my family. My experience, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not dogging the skin color. I'm dogging the life choices and the experience. You know what I'm saying? So I can't, you know, if you chose black school, black girls, I mean, white school, white girls, white family, white friends. Can I say that you and you're half white? Can I say you had the full black experience? Your kids, you won't have to give your kids the talk about, hey, you're black. You know what I'm saying? You won't have to do that. Your kids are going to be white, man. You're going to be good. Like you know? It's almost like they already treated you like they knew you were going to be white. The media, the world, like, let's look at, like, come on, man. Really look at how they treated these other black quarterbacks that I named. And look how easy Pat has had it. So I hope I didn't get too controversial. I just want to stop the narrative of these are two black quarterbacks going at it. All right. And I know this is so controversial that if you hear this, I want you to reach out to me. And if my moral compass is off, if I've said anything wrong, don't hesitate to come and say, hey, Daylon, that was wrong. I'm going to receive it. I usually don't receive things, but this is a learning for me and everybody that I just want to start the conversation of. And I'm going to leave with this question to you as a listener. Is Pat Mahomes white or black? And what makes you white or black? Is it your experience and through life, or is it your skin color? please give me feedback. I hope I didn't offend anybody, but I just, it was just a little irritating to how conveniently he turned black, or the media turned him and grouped him in with the black players, when it was like, whoa. Hey, you didn't pay this guy. You told this guy to be a running back. You told this guy you wouldn't even make it in the league. You told this guy he needs to change his persona. You even got a life coach to change how he talks, walks. Come on, man. But this guy, come on, man. So it was a little irritating and frustrating for him to get that tag of, oh, he's a black quarterback, but never got treated like a black quarterback at all. And that's where the frustration comes from. All right. So, like I said, please get back to me. Obviously, it's no secret. I'm obviously going for the Eagles in this Super Bowl. I think they have one of the best defenses I've ever seen in life. They've played an easy schedule. They haven't played like an elite quarterback all year, whether it was due to injuries or the team just didn't have one. But I don't think that negates who's on that field with them. I don't think Pat's seen a defense this good. And like I've said, Pat's not the most polished fundamental guy. He's not at all. And I think when you play good defenses, you have to be fundamentally sound. You have to make the right decision, and you have to do things the right way. All that gunslinging, fly-by-night, improvising things don't really work on fundamentally sound defense. So I do think he has a problem. I think he struggles early on. Andy Reid's offense is so amazing that he's going to get his. Like, you'll see the things that are drawn up and the things that Andy's going to do. You're going to be like, oh, wow, you're going to see what Daylon's saying. That he's one of the best play callers I've seen. He's up there with, like, Sean Payton as one of the best offensive play callers I have seen. So, obviously, he's going to have success. So, it's going to be interesting. One of the best games we've seen. But like I said, hope I didn't offend anybody, man. And get back to me so I can learn and be better. If you feel like I'm wrong, I want to hear you out. I want to learn and grow as a player, because maybe I'm thinking one-sided. Maybe I'm thinking super prejudiced and things of that nature. Or maybe I'm right. And you're like, Daylon, I feel you, because I go into a bank and I get stared like this. But that's my black experience. And this guy just gets to cruise through life. Like, you know what I'm saying? So just talk to me, man. And I appreciate y'all for listening. Holla.